everybody. Check it out. Today's episode of How Did This Get Made is brought to you by Bonobos. What's Bonobos? Oh, only the best men's apparel website on the interweb. That's right. Get yourself a blazer and a chino, a jacket and some socks, some shoes and hats. They don't have hats, but they have everything else. Go to bonobos.com. That's bonobos.com. Get 20% off on us. That's right. 20% off. In addition to the free shipping, in addition to the amazing customer support, step up your style game. Thanks to How Did This Get Made. Go to bonobos.com. Use the offer code HOW. That's H-O-W. That's how you get the 20% off. Do it. Look good. Feel good. Be good. Bonobos.
Not a music video and not yet a movie. We saw Crossroads, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made. We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Cause you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am your host, Paul Scheer, joined by my co-host, Jason Mantzoukas. How are you, Jason?
Terrific, Paul!
And June Diane, I'm sorry here, how do I pronounce this?
Raphael.
June Diane Raphael. How are you, Jane?
June. I'm doing fine, thank you.
Great. We are joined by a very special guest today. You know him from his podcast, which I've been on, and I actually listen to even when I'm not on it. Jeff Rubin, welcome Jeff Rubin here to the show.
Hello,
hello, welcome Jeff. The podcast is also called the Jeff Rubin Jeff Rubin Show. So let's talk Crossroads 2002.
Oof.
We agreed that this is not the Ralph Macchio version.
A one-word review for this movie is oof.
I love bad movies, but I've never, I had to watch this last night, and I've never really just, watched one by myself before. Usually it's, kind of a social
welcome to our nightmare.
It was something.
This movie is really interesting because...
Sure about that?
Yeah, I'm gonna go out. Is it interesting because this is the only movie where Zoe Saldana uses an umlaut over her name? Maybe.
When I realized it was Zoe Saldana, I lost my
mind. I was like, what? By the way, I actually liked her in this movie.
I thought she was great.
You know,
as was Taryn Manning.
Yeah.
That's who I was more excited to see.
Nope.
I'm willing to stand behind
Taryn. I think everyone in the movie is at least fine, except with the exception of Britney Spears.
For a non-actress, she's doing a fine job in this movie.
I'm actually agreeing with June. I don't think that she's overtly bad. Right? I mean,
that other people could be better, starring and carrying a most
She was so flat and not in the breast area because they made
every 10 minutes
every opportunity she's in a bra, or every opportunity they could she's close to naked. Yeah, she was just very flat and very kind of one note, I thought.
It's not entirely her fault. It is a really boring character with there's nothing. She has no problem.
She's a nerdy girl who's a virgin.
She's a valedictorian.
Valedictorian, yeah.
It's like when Denise Richards was the nuclear physicist in that James Bond movie. Britney Spears is the valedictorian.
Jones. Oh, by the way, here's an interesting fact about this movie. All right, so obviously this movie is about Britney Spears and her two childhood friends going on a road trip to enter a singing contest. Obviously.
Well, and among other things.
There's a lot. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, maybe I should reveal this.
They learned some lessons on the road.
Yeah. I should actually reveal this fact.
Objectives.
I will reveal the fact that I'm going to reveal now later because I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
And just say that Shonda Rhimes of Scandal wrote this movie.
Shonda Rhimes of Grey's Anatomy?
Yeah.
Shonda Rhimes of Private Practice?
Yes.
That Shonda Rhimes?
Yes.
Huh. Interesting.
It's interesting because this movie is...
Did Grey's Anatomy exist at that point?
No.
No, 2002, no.
I looked this up. It did not.
It did not, okay.
Grey's Anatomy, I think, is 2005, and this is 2002?
Yes.
Something like that.
Got it.
It's
so somebody was like, you know what? We're going to do a hospital drama. Get me that girl that wrote Crossroads.
Maybe it was more like, write Crossroads and we'll let you make a TV show.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. But, I mean, it's darker than I imagine it to be. Like, in my mind...
It gets into real Saturday Night Fever territory at the end.
Yeah.
And it's weird because I remember the ads for it and, I had always assumed it was just, this bubblegum Britney Spears movie.
Yeah.
And it is so dark and not fun at all.
I would also, the three friends, the cover of the poster, they're all arm in arm and they're, kind of laughing and joking. That doesn't really happen until, 45 minutes to an hour
into the
movie.
They hate each other from excuse me, I just yawned in the middle of the podcast. They hate each other. Like, what's interesting is, like, or not interesting, but, like, it starts as them as little girls. They bury a time capsule.
Declare they're going to be best friends forever.
Forever. they bury the time capsule under maybe 4 inches of dirt.
4 inches.
Like, they find that time, like,
it's really good, shitty break, as a Breaking Bad with Hope and Secrets and Dreams.
A good rain would have revealed that time capsule.
But they put it in a plastic bag.
No,
so...
no, but I mean, like, it would have revealed it. Like, it would have washed away the dirt.
I thought you were just nervous at the water again.
No. They got the plastic bag.
The location of it was also somewhat ambiguous. They were like 10 paces from the tree and they found it again.
And they didn't count 10 paces. They just like put a shovel in and there it is. But then it cuts from these three little girls burying a time capsule to Britney Spears in her underwear, like dancing in her room like a fucking...
Well, I was really upset about that opening because... That was such a ripoff of Adventures in Babysitting.
That's exactly what I thought, but it was like a sexier, weirder version of it.
Well, and by the way, the Adventures in Babysitting opening is like when I saw that, that changed my life. I mean, I was like, there's nothing better than this opening. To rip that off and to do it so poorly was
terrible,
really terrible. The crazy thing about that scene too is that she's dancing around in her underwear.
To Madonna.
And then to Madonna. It's morning time.
Yeah, she's eating cereal.
She's eating cereal, and then she puts her pajama bottoms on.
Yes.
So we're to understand that she had taken them off to do the dance?
Yep.
Yes.
So that you, so you could, and she, the way, by the way, the way she puts her pajama bottoms on is not to stand and put them in one leg at a time. It's to get up on her bed.
It's really strange.
Lean back, put her legs in the air like a baby that needs to have her bump, to have her diaper change, to have her butt wiped. And she puts them on that way. So you get a full crotch
shot,
like camel toe shot. This movie.
I just wrote down at one point, virgin whore.
Virgin whore.
I wrote down virgin nerd.
But wasn't that Britney Spears' image?
That was Britney Spears'. Yeah, exactly.
The virgin whore.
Exactly. Yes. And this movie was, I guarantee you, just made for dudes to jerk off to. There was nothing in this movie,
but
I feel like.
Why was it so dark at the end?
Oh, boy. Because
like,
really
they were
dark.
Going for something else. Yeah. I mean, I think.
It
I
took
think
a real left turn.
Well, I think the script probably existed in
well,
and of itself.
I know
and
this.
And then it became.
I have a prep.
All right, well, go ahead.
All right, well, go ahead. He's like, well, you can.
No, in my mind, the script already existed. And it was probably a darker, more interesting script. And then once Britney Spears was like a huge star and attached herself to the project, it became what we just saw.
Now I will tell you what actually happened, which is Britney Spears' story by credit created this story.
That explains so much.
And this is what it is. There's about three friends, and one of them is pregnant. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is pregnant, and Britney Spears wanted to play the girl. Who I guess we're gonna get into it, so I gotta reveal it now. The girl who was raped and now is pregnant.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So
Taryn Manning's
part. The rape is revealed Act Two somewhere.
Yes. Yeah. In the middle of Act Two, maybe the midpoint of Act Two. So
You mean during the heavy secrets montage?
Yes.
Oh my
Where
god,
each of the three girls in different locations in different sets of pajamas reveals super fucking heavy stuff
while eating ice cream and
And one of them's at night and then it cuts them like by the pool during the day and it's like they've just been doing this all night.
All night secret party. So basically
Britney wanted to play the Taryn Manning part.
Yes, it was written for Britney to play the Taryn Manning part because she felt like that's what she could identify with. Then she was told she could not play that part, which makes so much sense because Taryn Manning wants to become a pop star.
It was so weird.
And then Britney Spears is not that on that track.
Yeah, like one
and
of
then
the
they
three
have to
of them,
kind of switch.
Weird. Yeah, one of the three of them is like, I'm going to L.A. to enter a talent contest. I'm going to be a big musician. And that character is not the Britney Spears
Not only
character.
That, but she's afraid to sing.
Yeah.
Not only that, but she, when they do enter a karaoke contest to make money, it's Taryn Manning is going to be the lead singer, and Britney and Zoe Saldana are the backup singers, and then Taryn Manning freezes, can't sing, and Britney Spears has to step forward at a karaoke contest to sing Joan Jett's I Love Rock and Roll.
Terrible.
But they do set up that Britney Spears
can sing.
Can sing,
but no, but
and was going to major in music.
I don't even remember that.
She
was going to be a doctor. Yeah. No, there was, because remember the woman at graduation says, I hope you're going to continue your music after high school. And her dad's she's going to be a doctor, so she's going to have to this, that, and the other.
But the minute she gets on that stage, she starts working that pole.
She is working the pole.
What
she
has karaoke place is a stripper pole in
it? They're in New Orleans, to be fair.
I mean, also going back to the graduation, there's a scene, the scene where she's getting dressed, and then her father, played by Dan Aykroyd,
by the way. Yes, doing kind of like a riff on his My girl father.
Right.
A little bit.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. Yeah.
Sad father who's been left.
I felt like this was an alternate world version of John Mahoney and Diane Ione Skye in Say Anything. Like single dad, single overprotective dad, and valedictorian smart girl daughter who never lived a life. And I was like, this movie is just Say Anything told from Diane Lord's perspective. Diane Lord?
No, Ione Skye.
Yeah, no, but that's her character's name, I think, is...
Oh, you're right,
anyway, blah, blah, blah. But, he's so overprotective of her, and then she runs away, and she's a bad girl, but she's not at all a bad girl. She's, a really good valedictorian girl, but when she gets on the stage, she starts working the pole like a whore.
Again, back to your virgin whore.
Well, and we understand she's a virgin, so
yes.
I guess
because she's mocked in high school for being a virgin,
right?
Also, she almost has sex with Justin Long,
her chemistry partner. And here's the crazy thing I have to ask about that scene: so she comes out of the bathroom. It's prom night. Graduation and prom are on the same night.
Sure,
okay?
Diane Court. Everybody, it's Diane Court.
Got it.
Apologies.
Graduation and prom are on the same night. Never hooked up before, ever. Like, never
nothing. They appear to be boyfriend and girlfriend, but then it's revealed that they are just lab partners for 3 years.
And that he kind of talked her into it. We actually have a clip of Justin Long convincing her to have sex with him.
Is this the list?
Yes.
She goes, they're in bed. She's in, like, a matching bra and panty set.
Comes out very sexy.
They're going to have sex. And she says, read the list again.
And here we go.
Reason number one, we've been lab partners for 3 years.
Okay.
So we really trust each other.
Okay.
Trust is very important. Reason number two, we are both 18 and have never done it. Very important.
Okay.
Reason number three, we both want to do it. Reason number four.
I can't believe you had to write this down.
Please, Lucy, come on. Please. I'm begging you, please.
girls love it when you beg, right? Just straight up.
Spoiler alert:
please. They
do not have sex.
Just the craziest ass thing, because they've never even kissed before, but they're going to have sex.
They've never even kissed before. Not only they're going to have sex, but she has gone out and bought underwear for it. She's coming out like sexy.
She didn't already have those.
No, that was like that was the first time she's those had ever
been
worn.
Underwear. See,
here's the weird thing about her. I mean, and this is what they're setting up, is like she's this totally virginal girl, but she has these undies and these moves.
Which I thought was very interesting, because I did not give the movie this much credit that they were establishing that she had these moves and she was being repressed.
Well,
yeah, I guess I didn't get that.
That is her whole storyline in a way, you know, not a girl.
Yes,
not yet a woman.
I mean, that is her whole story
ethos
in the movie.
Yeah.
That she's in this in between.
It's a theme.
Yeah.
In that she reads a poem titled that.
Right.
That turns into a song titled that.
That's like that song in the middle of the movie. It looks like they were in a car dealership that they just put a piano in the middle of it. It's like all glass, car dealership.
You know, it's bad, like, in a movie when, like, someone has to read a poem and then another character has to be like, that's really good. Because, like, you might not know that as the audience. You might not catch it. There's a lot of her in this movie singing to the radio, and so there's more of her singing with the radio.
I want to talk about this, because I felt like this movie to me was a real. Maybe it's a matter of expectations. I was expecting from Justin to Kelly. You know, I was expecting a musical movie.
You were expecting a lot then.
And so I felt like this movie could have been better if they actually sang during the movie. Because what you're saying is right. Like, they sang, like, when there's music in the movie.
There's at least three scenes of them in the car singing along to the radio.
They sing to the radio. They sing karaoke in the bar. She sings to him playing the piano.
She sings
the
Madonna song in the bedroom.
But musical numbers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, what I wanted out of this movie was musical numbers that would have been amazing and terrible and crazy, but as such, it always never kind of tipped over for me.
Well, it became
into so bad, I started enjoying it. It was very boring.
Well, to me, what you said about Saturday Night Fever, it seems like that's what it is. That you're trying to make this like heavy thing, and like going back to that secret montage, it's like we learned that Zoe Saldana was in a fat camp, and her mother,
the only thing that makes her mother more angry than her being fat is now that she's not fat, she's more beautiful than her mother,
and then we all also find out that Taryn Manning, who always is playing a sort of abused sister,
oh, yeah,
from
yeah.
8 Mile to Hawaii Five-0.
I only know her. I thought she was great. I only know her as Pensatucky from Orange Is the New Black.
She showed up.
Which everyone's great on that show, and she is particularly good on that show. That's a character who, like, when she showed up, you assumed it's just a character, and then you see all this depth as the show goes on. So that was the person I was the most excited to see in the movie, and she was pretty good in it.
I think she was really good.
Yeah. She's always good. She, to me, is always like, we need a slightly more on drugs Bijou Phillips.
But it's funny you mention 8 Mile, because it's like when you make a movie starring a musician, and like 8 Mile is the Eminem movie, this is the Britney Spears movie, like that's his story.
Like this is
that's true.
Or maybe it is,
but,
I don't
but
know.
But this is like,
all
well,
I'm saying is you're counting on those musical performances. Like
right.
Purple Rain is not a terrific movie, but like
wrong.
Musical
performances.
No, hold on.
Get out.
I love Purple Rain because the music performances in that, both by Prince and Morris Day and the Time, forgive a
fight.
Lot.
Just
no, no.
You and me are enemies.
No. I don't think you understand.
Now, under Cherry Moon, I've got problems.
I've never seen that. But I'm saying, like, in 8 Mile, which is obviously better than this, but, like, the musical performances in these movies starring musicians can forgive a lot, and there is
yes,
not none
because
of that.
Because
you're in this
essentially
movie.
Going to watch them perform.
Yes.
Do what they do best.
I mean, when she does karaoke to I Love Rock and Roll, it is exactly what I just said. It is someone doing karaoke to I Love Rock and
Roll.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't feel
and it does it because Britney Spears cannot actually sing.
Yeah.
There is no electricity to watching her sing because she is just lip syncing to a very manufactured pre-recorded
track.
Performance.
And that's why they do so many loving shots of her body.
Oh yeah.
During those sequences and even at the end too, because there's no performance to
No.
Well, to me
watch.
Watching this movie, I was like, I forgot that this type of music existed. Like it's kind of been washed away, and it's like it's also not something that you would immediately be able to sing. It's like when she starts singing, it's like like it's got that like kind of like backbeat bass. Like that's not like a natural style. It's, like no one starts singing like that. No one.
It's really interesting. Like because the three girls go on a road trip and they're being driven by an older guy.
By the way, I had a big problem with.
Okay, I do too. But for
like
probably not the same reason.
Looking than them.
Oh yeah, totally. But the music in the movie keeps jumping back and forth between their kind of
Poppy.
Backstreet Boys. No, not. Yeah, like super pop for that era, and his kind of Creed nonsense.
Yes.
Like his kind of like chugga chugga chugga. Like,
I love this.
You know, like nonsense.
But
you would think that since we've set that up, that later on when he composes this ballad for her,
oh, yeah.
that it was going to be, you know, the music he was writing was going to be more in line with like what we've known his musical taste.
Sure.
But by the way,
he's not at all.
He's not even in the band.
He's not in the band.
She doesn't.
By the way, that band that she has at the end is giant, and those two girls are now her backup singers. Yeah. Like this movie makes
all
like,
he does is count the money when
that's
they
a
win
scene,
the karaoke
really
concert.
Creepy, that's a scene.
How weird was that? Like you count the money, you're a man.
It was really creepy.
That's the scene that reminded me of Adventures in Babysitting. By the way, is when they're at the karaoke place singing to raise money to fix the car to move on.
Right.
That's a very Adventures in Babysitting scene.
Well, but I don't know really why they had this guy in the car the entire time.
Oh, you mean like, the guy that they thought was a killer?
What was that?
Oh, plot resolution. He isn't.
Nope.
Problem solved.
He's
big
only,
misunderstanding.
He only rescued a little girl from an abusive household, and he got put in jail.
That's like the best specific when you find out what he actually did. It's like, oh, my stepsister was being abused by my stepfather, so I went to go get her, and I brought her
across state lines,
which you're not allowed to do, and so I was arrested. It was the craziest.
But let's hear how Britney
strangely
Spears
specific.
Reacts to finding out she might be on a road trip with a killer.
Yeah, he like killed a guy.
Kit.
Mod, that's what I heard.
Excuse me? He killed somebody?
No, he did not kill anybody. Mm-hmm. I don't think.
Mimi. Okay, he had a car. He was coming to LA. Just don't be upset. I'm on a road trip with a killer and you're telling me not to be upset?
I think like the problem with this movie and Britney Spears' performance is that every character is more interesting. I mean, Britney Spears' friends are like, one was like raped and is going to have this kid. One, her husband, this is a spoiler for the end of the movie, like is abusive and like did the rape. So like these kind
yes,
of interesting movies
we gotta get into
are
that.
Happening around Britney Spears. But she is just like upset because she's never lived, and like her problems are so.
Well, we got to talk about her mom, the Kim Cattrall.
She does have a big problem, but it's dealt with in the strangest way. I mean, there are also the editing of this movie is so strange. Like,
well, because scenes go nowhere.
Scenes go nowhere, but then the things you want to see, you don't.
Yeah, the things you don't want to see, you do. When he interrupts her and he's like, "You," the scene where she's singing in her bedroom, and he's like, "You got to get up." The valedictorian can't be late for her big speech. Then you cut to like, "Whoa, great speech you gave."
No other movie would do that.
You know why though?
I think in that instance, this movie had a grand total of 15 extras. In the karaoke concert, in like big concert scenes, there is nobody in the movie. Yeah. So I don't think they could afford to have filled an auditorium.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
To do that graduation scene.
Even in the karaoke scene, like I noticed, I would see the same faces throughout the.
And they did a reverse shot through the crowd onto stage, and there was honestly like 10 back of people's heads.
Yeah, here's a question for you guys. How many months do you think this movie took to shoot? And I would say an average time for a movie is 3 months, right?
Yeah.
Two. Definitely less than the average.
Six. Double.
I'm so glad you had the actual
answer.
What?
Six months.
This movie
is like 95 minutes, and you can probably compact it down. Like, if you needed you could probably shoot it in a week.
Well, I fast-forwarded a lot of stuff in here because it was extraneous.
Jason often fast-forwards. I will say that the Kim Cattrall scene, to me, is the most mind-boggling scene because she's going to see her mom
because her mom left her when she was two.
Yes,
and so we're
and she's
all
never
waiting.
Heard from the mother. And
Dan Aykroyd
just assumes is like
that her mom is cool, like wants
is,
to reach
like,
out.
Wants to see us. She goes. She says to her friends at one point, "I mean, she must want to see me. She's just nervous to reach
she's
out.
Scared.
She's scared.
Fine. All right. Whatever.
Okay. Sure. I'll buy it. She arrives unannounced. The scene between her and Kim Cattrall."
Who's wearing all khaki, by the way. Great choice, Cattrall.
Weird.
There's a lot of 2002 in this movie.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot of khaki. Kim Cattrall is living a very fancy life in Phoenix?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Something in Albuquerque.
She's like strapping
on. I don't know.
It looked like a nice house on Breaking
Bad. You never get the reason why she left. There's like a 2 second scene.
She says, "You and I need to talk."
There's more silence in this scene than there is dialogue.
And then Kim Cattrall says what?
Nothing. Well, no, Britney Spears tells us afterwards.
Yeah,
but we don't see it.
She just didn't want her.
She said, "I didn't want you. I didn't want you. Your father wanted me to have you. You were a mistake."
But meanwhile, she has like 3 kids now.
Yeah. By the way, even if that being the case, and this girl shows up at your house, be kind.
Because that's the question that is raised. Like,
be kind.
But by the way, she was there for 2 years.
Yeah.
With this girl.
She was with a 2-year-old. Now, here's the thing. If that is the reason, and this woman just didn't feel the call to motherhood or whatever and left, she would never say that. And if she did say that, then it's like, this woman's insane.
Yeah, this is a sociopath.
This is a sociopath.
This is a person who's capable of murder.
That's like not information you need to know. Like if it was like, "You're adopted" or something
because that's what I was expecting. Yeah. I was expecting her to be like, "You actually weren't my daughter.
Right.
You were this and I, blah, 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 blah." You know,
but in fact,
the story was, no. I'm a horrible, horrible monster person who abandoned you because I didn't want you. I felt no instincts towards keeping you.
So there.
You were a mistake. Why are you here? Get the fuck out of my house. I love my boys. I love my life. You can eat shit. I'm Samantha. You know what I mean?
It's a movie that tells you all the eventful things through recollections.
Yeah.
How you live your actual life. You aren't there for that. It's like a documentary crew showed up from the wrong day. It's like, fuck.
So you think there wasn't any more to that scene and they cut when the scene
I feel like
ended.
There had to be more. Why would Kim Cattrall sign on to be in the Britney Spears movie?
They must have shot that scene.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They had to have shot that scene.
It's just another example of the movie kind of skipping over the interesting part.
Oh, yes.
And I feel like we're jumping around a lot, and I want listeners to know that that's like kind of the movie's fault, because it's not really a movie so much as like a collection of random things
that
happen.
It's
vignettes. Yeah.
It's like weird vignettes. I mean,
a lot of road movies are like that. This is a road trip movie. This is like moving from vignette to vignette, except that usually the vignettes have cumulative value for the movie. You know, each Yes. Each thing, they learn a new piece of the puzzle. They move it forward, blah, blah, blah. One thing leads to another. But this, a lot of them just go nowhere or are just kind of like empty and weird. And then it feels like there's a lot of just like moves that I'm like, what the? And then I hit fast forward because I'm like, nothing has happened three scenes.
And there's also this moment where like, Anson Mount, who plays the boy, like the guy.
Who is that?
Anson Mount's a guy on this show called like Hell on Wheels. Yeah. It's like
railroad show?
Yeah. And so,
that's why I looked him up on Wikipedia because I didn't know he was either, and he looks like he's like 45 now.
Yes.
He's like an old grizzled man on Hell on Wheels.
This is the boyfriend?
The boyfriend. The
okay.
And like, there's a part where in the beginning of the movie he's like, don't drive my car. You can't drive my car. And then like, they're in a gas station. He falls asleep probably in a matter of minutes, yep, if not seconds. Dead tired, falls asleep in the back of the car. And they're like, ooh, let's get the keys out of his pants. Get
they
the
are
keys.
Way too amused by that, by
they
the way. They're just
laughing,
dying
laughing.
A man who they all believe to be capable of murder.
At this point, he has not revealed the other thing. And they get the keys out and they drive, and they seem to be driving for hours, to which you... It's a convertible.
Still asleep in the backseat.
Yes, a convertible. So wind must be blowing. And he wakes up. And then has the best freak out of all time.
Well, first of all, he kind of hits her on the back.
Oh, does he?
Britney Spears is driving, yes. And he wakes up and he's like, pull over. And she's like, ah. And he's like, pull over.
By the way, flawless Britney Spears.
That was really good, Gene.
Like, for a second, I whipped my head around because I was like, is Brit here?
Nobody said anything. And I was like, I'm just going to keep on going.
I thought you were going into Not a Girl.
Really appreciate it. He smacks her on the back of the head. And then she pulls over. And then he gets out of the car and stomps around for 3 minutes?
Can we play this? Here we go.
We're sorry.
I've been in a car full of chicks for days. Okay, do you have any idea what it's like being surrounded by girls all the time? Okay,
I found this part actually really
being
offensive.
A girl yourself, yeah. That I know, stupid question.
Sort of, yeah. I agree.
But I'm a guy, okay? I'm a guy. Just a guy. And I have been listening to nothing but girl talk and watching you all do your girl things for days. And I'm not complaining because, let's face it, I'm outnumbered, but that's my car. It's in my car, and it's just...
And then it ends.
God. He's like kicking dirt around,
like freaking out because he's been around girls.
The way
for a couple
he freaked out, I thought it was like going to be like, "Oh my, we left the money at the gas station" or something like that. Like I thought there was going to be a real problem.
My father gave me that car, and he said no one else could drive it. There was some stakes to it. But again, with everything,
boys love their cars, guys. I'm sorry, do you guys not know boys love their cars?
Oh my gosh.
It's like they were just like, "The movie's 7 minutes short. Can we figure out something for them to argue about over here?" Like
we need to have a moment where they connect. Well, by the way. There's a lot of weird not misogynist, but it's like bad dude guys, like in the bar when they win the karaoke contest too. Like,
they're totally.
Like, a guy was like, David Gruber Allen.
Oh, that was amazing.
How
it was
weird
so
was that?
He's in the credits too.
He
has one line, which is like, yeah, he's one of the
get off the stage. And it's awesome to see him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
You know,
oh
he's
my
in
God,
NTSF
in
and Freaks and Geeks. He's amazing.
There's
a moment in there where like the guy, like, a guy comes up to Anson Mountain. He's like, is that your girlfriend? And she's like, no. He's like, so I can,
And he says to his friends, like, watch this.
And he goes over and just immediately starts dance raping her, like, immediately.
Yeah,
and
she's kind of into it at first.
Because he's
a
good dancer. Because he comes over and she asks Anson Mount to dance, and he says no.
He is counting the money, though.
Yeah,
he is counting the money.
Because
he's the dad of the trip. And then this guy comes over, and he's dancing with her, and she's into the dancing. And then he basically immediately starts trying to finger her.
Yeah,
like,
immediately.
Straight away. Like, cannot
this is what's
not
weird.
Get a digit in.
This really is what's weird about the movie, and I do think it's misogynistic, because you're sort of rooting for her to leave her... college career and
her real life ambition to pursue this nonsense,
to maybe be a doctor.
But it's also like it's a bad advice road trip. Everyone is fueling each other's bad. Like she's like, I'm gonna go visit my mom that I haven't spoken to and has never reached out to me.
And Zoe Saldana's like, I'm gonna go and visit my boyfriend who I'm feeling distance from, and we're engaged, but he's in college and I'm in high school.
And
I'm gonna not tell him I'm coming.
And everyone is like, yes. yes ending it, going like, that is a great, you definitely need to go see your mom. And you know what? We're so confident in you seeing your mom, we're going to pull the fuck away. We're out of here. Like, we don't even need to wait if it's cool. Like, we're leaving you with a stranger.
Or just to see if she's home.
Yeah.
But they were like, but we'll, don't keep in mind, we're not leaving until tomorrow. And I was like, uh-oh, that doesn't bode well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's so much, oh, man.
Oh, okay. So, during a heavy talk montage, Britney Spears and Zoe Saldana are getting drunk, right? They're drinking, and they say to her, they say to Taryn Manning, you're lucky you didn't drink, you couldn't drink last night because, you know, we're feeling it today, or something like that. Yep. And Taryn Manning says, that's not why I don't drink. I just don't see the point in it. So she's not drinking, not to protect her unborn child that she is carrying, but because she doesn't see the point, macro point, in drinking.
And if she did, she'd be drinking right now.
Because that would not, if she was like, if I could see the point of drinking, I'd fucking drink my face off, baby or not, because this shit is the product of a rape, and I am very uncomfortable with it. So, I mean, do you want to cut to what then happens at the end of this movie?
We should definitely talk about it. I just also want to say that she does have no problem, though, drinking Pepsi products right to screen. That Pepsi can this movie is so full of crazy ads. Like, Britney Spears gets out of the shower and Herbal Essences is like in the shower.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Pepsi's
one.
There. It's all over the place. All right, so let's get to.
Guys, if you have been listening and you may be interested in watching the movie, we are really about to spoil the ending.
Yeah, this is really where it all intersects.
This is like, it is that Saturday Night Fever moment when you think you're watching this dance movie and these people figure out living and loving and relationships, and then they rape that girl in the back of the seat, in the back seat at the end of Saturday Night Fever. So they go to visit Zoe Saldana's boyfriend who lives in Los Angeles.
And he's in college and you're led to believe that
they are engaged.
They're engaged. And you're led to believe that it's, as an audience member, you're like, I get it. He's in college and he wants to fuck around. That relationship is over. That's what you're like as an audience.
Well, her friends are even like, who knows where he is and who or where what he's up to and who's he's who he's up to or
and
something.
So and the very cliche kind of journey, and it's like, that's fine. It's very telegraphed, but okay.
So they get there, knock, 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 and Taryn Manning is like, I don't want to go see Dylan.
Yes.
Well, I don't want to go see Dylan, and Zoe Saldana is like, shut up, I want to go see him. I want to see him right now. So they go.
And you don't think anything of that, because why would she?
Well, who cares?
It doesn't make sense.
Taryn Manning wants to go see the Hollywood sign, which is what she puts her vote
in for. Did you guys really not see that coming?
Wait a second, you saw it coming?
From a million miles.
No.
Oh yeah.
I feel so dumb.
You knew
right
it
now.
Was Dylan who did
from
the raping?
A million spoiler alert. Miles away.
Okay. Wow. Okay, so then this is what happened.
Oh my god. Of
so
course.
It wasn't until I saw him drinking the blue beer. Until I saw him drinking the blue beer bottle, that's when I realized he did the raping.
There's so much setup where Taryn Manning is talking about Dylan and is like, you don't really know who he is and he's not who, like, she says things to Zoe Saldana.
This is why you gotta watch Crossroads twice. That's why you gotta watch it twice.
Did you watch Director's Cut?
But also, as soon as Taryn Manning said, oh yeah, and he had a blue bottle, like, I knew they were teeing this up.
Oh yeah, that was
Dylan.
Okay.
But wait, he always drinks out of a blue bottle? Is that like a
no,
thing?
No, it's a blue beer. It's like a brand his brand, I guess. Anyway, so he answers
Bud
the door.
Lights.
This guy is a piece of garbage from the word go. He opens the door. He doesn't want her to come in. And he's she's like, hey, baby. And he's like, hey, what's up?
By the way, this is not a college apartment or a dorm room.
No.
This is like
apartment.
A meth den.
It's like an apartment in... Meanwhile, fucking... During this scene, so Zoe Saldana and Taryn Manning are fucking going to confront Dylan, realize that Dylan did the raping of Taryn Manning
because,
and is the father of her baby.
Because... He's drinking out of a blue bottle.
Yes, because I realized it only because he's drinking out of a blue bottle. Yes, that's the one. But you're right. They did lay it in, and I was just ignorant to it. Meanwhile, this very heavy scene is being intercut with a scene in which Anson Williams, Potsy from Happy Days.
Yes, Anson Williams.
And Britney Spears are fucking
I want to talk about the fucking in the room in Malibu, because the whole thing with Britney Spears is it's not the right, this is not the right moment. I'm waiting for the right moment to lose my virginity. And she decides to lose it in front of a giant window that's over, like a first floor window overlooking the beach, with no curtains drawn or anything. Nope. Like, she wants to fuck in front of people.
She wants to, first she wants to take all of their clothes off in front of a window.
By the way, that's the other thing too.
Everybody gets naked first.
Everyone there, it's like, I'm gonna take off my shirt and now we'll have, now we agree now to have sex.
Now,
we'll
now you take off your shirt. Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm gonna take my bottoms off. What?
Am I doing sex wrong that I don't have like this very long discussion? Like, now I'm taking
that. I don't know. You're going, honestly, Paul, you're going to have to ask the person you're having sex with. But like that idea of like, because the same thing in the Justin Long scene,
yes.
They both are just in underwear.
Ready to go.
Like, ready to go as if that, but I'm trying to think back when I was like 17 years old.
Well, no, but it's more appropriate for that scene.
And it's a big cliche of like a girl losing her virginity of like, we're standing and staring at each other and it's all very like, this ritual of, I don't know.
The Justin Long scene, like, I was kind of wondering if she was, like, gonna circle back and get back together with him, because, like, usually in the movie, that guy would be, like, a total, like, he's like a ducky, you know?
Yeah,
he's
yeah,
just,
yeah.
like, a total dweeb, but he seemed like a nice, normal dude, and he's, like, in pretty good shape, but then when you see the guy...
I agree with you. When I saw his body, I was like, they didn't...
He's not that geeky,
he's
right?
He's not that geeky.
But then when you see the other dude, you're like, oh, this is what you wanted.
That dude takes off his shirt at one point to reveal his, like, Native American, like, eagle wing tattoo.
This is why she wasn't
back,
settling for Justin Long.
Just shirts.
Like, they might as well have put in a sound effect, like, squish, as, like, all the girls got wet instantly in that scene. Because they all are lusty. After the Anson, what's his name?
The one thing I think I kind of laughed at in the movie, I think I kind of laughed at something, guys, was, you know, as we discussed, there's that whole scene with the car where he's like, obviously no one can drive the car. And then the other two friends, the non-Britney friends, are like, hey, we want to go sightseeing. But we don't have the car. And he's like, here, take it.
Yeah.
And he throws them the keys because he wants to fuck Britney Spears.
He's ready to go to town.
And I think that was intentional, and I thought it was very funny the way he immediately surrendered any
way
about the
cars. I thought that their kissing was the most real-life kissing that I've seen. Like, I feel like there's a movie kiss that I'm used to seeing, but they really held in tight. Like when at the piano,
I don't remember it.
It just felt more awkward and oddly tentative and like,
well, good
and a lot
for them
more
if that's the case.
And a lot more tongue and lip than you're normally like, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
There's a moment, I remember that too, of like, he pulls away from the kiss and he's like holding her lower lip in his lips.
Yeah, it was
a weird thing. I remember
it
seeing
it. It made
that.
Me feel a little bit weird. So meanwhile, they're banging in front of a clear window.
So cut back to the fucking confrontation with Dylan and the blue beer bottle.
Yes.
Zoe Saldana puts all the pieces together and she's like, we're gonna confront this, you have to know this, and Taryn Manning's like, no, and she runs away and she falls down a flight of stairs.
And the way we see it is that in the beginning of the movie, they have a box and they put the things that they want in the box. And, and Zoe Saldana puts in like a wedding Barbie, Taryn Manning puts in a globe keychain that's like she wants the world,
she wants to see the world,
and
very unambitiously, the Pacific Ocean specifically, though they apparently like they live like somewhere pretty close to the Midwest,
they're in like Georgia or something, like, and then
I don't think they drive across the country. Do
that? No,
yeah.
Like
well, they first
well,
they first
like,
hit Arkansas.
I got the impression
it was
New
Orleans, Louisiana,
yeah. New Orleans.
First,
sorry.
Oh, really? Yeah, I guess so. I got the impression it was like a 2-day road trip. To be honest, like it is the least interesting road trip
honestly,
in the history of a road trip. Movies.
I agree.
Nothing happens.
I agree, but. You could also if somebody was like, oh, that movie takes place over 6 weeks, I'd be like, I believe that as well,
because there are so many hotel rooms.
Okay, so Taryn Manning falls down a flight of stairs.
Yes,
as epitomized the importance of which is measured by we see the globe keychain falling like a
slow
slinky
motion.
down the stairs.
That's the moment I laughed out loud because it was so fucking dark.
So what happens is, so spoilers for Crossroads, nothing good happens for Taryn Manning. Like, if Taryn Manning...
She's, by the way, pregnant. Like, she's
for reals pregnant.
Yeah, she's
you can
like,
tell because when she's on stage singing a karaoke, some guy in the crowd yells, hey, that chick's pregnant.
Yeah.
That might be the other time.
Oh, by the way, I want to play this clip too. Like, at one point, like, when Taryn Manning tells the girls her dream of becoming a singer, this is how they react to her. Listen to this.
Slot Records recording contest?
So
I'm going on Sunday.
You're going to California to audition for a record company.
Yeah? You're pregnant. So I'll wear something slimming.
And what? You think you're gonna become like this big fat pregnant star?
Like, not a cool reaction to, like, this. I thought that was, like, such a violent reaction to this girl's, like, dreams. Like, you're pregnant.
Yeah, you're fucking, it's, like, nothing about talent.
No.
It really is just, like, ew! Why would anybody want to look at your gross pregnant body,
you'd be a
weirdo?
Fat, pregnant, ugly person?
Don't be so cocky as to think your talent can outweigh the disgusting nature of what will
body.
Be a visual nightmare.
Look at Britney Spears and her cute body. Yeah. You have nothing on her.
In the movie's defense, though, that is in the beginning when they're all not friends, when they're digging up, they've reunited to dig up this box for some reason, but that's when they're
the box which contains three items,
right? And Britney
a keychain,
by the way, I guess
a locket.
We're to understand they don't remember those items.
No,
it's only 8 years later. By the way, 8 years later was a
what's even in this.
8 years
you
later.
Put in one item.
Everybody put in one item and act with such shock, like, my locket! As if to say, like, wouldn't you have thought within those 8 years, hey, where's that locket? I put it in the box that we buried. Nope.
No.
Like, as,
anyway, it's only 8 years.
Taryn Manning loses the baby.
Yes,
guys.
And
she
wakes up
baby.
In Children's Hospital, by the way.
Really?
That's the Children's Hospital from the show, Children's
Hospital.
Oh my
God, Hospital. I love that. I didn't even notice.
She's in Children's Hospital. And gives a great monologue about how it's like, I lost my keys.
Ugh.
Oh,
and
my
she
God.
Also says, which is devastating, that she had decided to keep the baby. Because the question was, like, always there whether she was going to
Well, she
give
had
it
that little
adoption.
Speech that they had. They were going to, she could choose who was going to get the baby.
But that at the beach earlier, like earlier the day before, she had decided and made the decision as she was looking out in the
ocean.
When
she stepped into the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, that she was going to keep this child.
Yeah,
and be the first pregnant pop star. But by the way, her dream of being a pop star totally dies.
Well, because she can't sing.
But
no,
that's
but
never
here's the craziest thing, though. I think it's when Britney Spears or Zoe Saldana comes to visit her in the hospital. She's just lost this child that she's been carrying for, at that point,
6-7 months?
At
8 months?
8 months. Okay. I mean, she's very pregnant.
She's aggressively pregnant.
Yes.
She goes, thanks. Thanks for coming along.
Yeah.
I'm really glad we did this.
They really like...
I'm really glad we did this.
By the way...
Keep in mind, by the way, look at the I know this sounds crazy, like what we're describing. Look on your phone right now at the poster for this movie.
Yes,
this is a movie that is about a rape victim confronting her rapist, driving cross country, confronting her rapist, and then falling down a flight of stairs and having a miscarriage. That person is not the star of the movie.
Nope. That's what I'm saying. Britney Spears is like, she's in another movie.
Yeah. Well, that's clearly
and you can
this
tell
was.
What they're trying to tee us up so that we're okay with this miscarriage because it was a rape baby.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
which is
I guess.
Awful.
Well, she got a second chance to become a pop star. I mean, but the pregnant women are dealt with in such a negative way here. Like, there's a part where Dan Aykroyd talks to Britney Spears on the phone. He's like, you went off with a pregnant woman? Like, wait. What about the guy who you think is the killer? Like, a strange man? Yeah. Like, that would have been the thing. You went off with a strange man, not a... Like, why was he upset with... You went off with a pregnant woman?
I love that scene where they're on the way back to the airport. Britney Spears is finally going to go home with her dad, who has come to the hospital, saw that her friend lost the baby, by the way. Just like, again, I can't stress how sad that is. They're finally going home. They're in the cab, and she's like... I don't remember what she says. She's like, I gotta be free or something like that. And just like runs out and starts just like hooking up with like the 4-year-old dude. Like just imagining her dad who has flown across the country, taken money out of the savings
for college. By the way, he took it out of her account. He didn't just spend his own money. He's
like,
to undo this damage
that's done. And she like runs away. They're going to miss the flight and just starts like hooking up with this older dude in front of him. How is he like
Dan
not
expression like, he's upset at first, but then he sort of falls into this, like, yeah, okay.
You gotta
is
okay.
She even 18?
Like, she is 18.
I wanted to see, like, her and the dude just, like, start to fuck again in the street.
Just
like,
right there
in front of
the Roosevelt Hotel.
The craziest thing, too, is earlier, I think the scene before that one, when she's going to leave, Zoe Saldana's like, wait, you're leaving right now? She's like, yeah, you know, just with everything going on with Mimi, like, I really should go. No, you should stay right now, when you should stay and be a friend.
I have a new feature on the show that I would like to introduce.
Yeah.
And this is something for the audience at home to play as well. I'm going to give you guys a pop quiz. I'm going to read you three facts.
Oh, God,
and you're going to tell me which one you think is not real.
Only okay. one.
Well, actually, one is real.
Okay.
The other two are fake. Okay, here we go. This movie premiered at Cannes.
Real.
Okay, hold on. Wait,
sorry.
Let me. Dan Aykroyd... created a detailed backstory for his character and his life in the Navy. He even had a friend draw a Navy tattoo on his arm. Anson Mount was convinced to do this movie by Robert De Niro, who was a huge Britney Spears fan. Those are three facts.
And only one is true?
Only one is true.
Okay.
I think it's the Can one.
I'm going to go with B, the Dan Aykroyd.
I'm going with Dan Aykroyd backstory.
I tricked you. They're all true.
No way.
Yes. This movie went to Cannes. Dan Aykroyd did an extensive backstory. He created a tattoo on his arm, which you can see in the scene in the garage. And Anson Mount was reluctant to play Ben, but encouraged by Robert De Niro, who liked Britney Spears, to do this movie. And he practices part with Robert De Niro reading the Britney Spears parts.
You know what I noticed?
Oh my God, why was that?
Wait, why are they related?
Because
that's the movie
called The City by the Sea.
Oh, okay.
This movie is one of the highest grossing movies in Japan.
Well, how much?
They don't say, but it says it's known in Japan as Not a Girl. But of course it is.
Of course it should be.
That's probably
a better title.
Yeah. That's a better title for the movie, actually.
That song was a hit, right?
Yeah.
I guess so. You know, I read a lot of reviews of this movie after I watched it, and almost all of them mentioned glitter. Like, I think this and glitter were near each other. And like,
we got to do glitter on the show.
We got to do glitter, guys. I saw glitter.
I got to tell you, I did love her outfit at the performance at the end. That shirt, that crazy shirt with the sleeves. I thought she looked great.
I liked her outfit when she had the bucket hat on. You know,
That fisherman's hat.
Is that what you call those? It's so 2002.
And it was everywhere. It was in like three scenes.
There's also like a scene where they're like lost and they're looking at maps and you're like, nope, that's not going to happen anymore. That's not how this works.
Guys, the best show on TV is here. That's right. I'm talking about Rick and Morty, a brand new show on Adult Swim every Monday night at 10:30 p.m. It is created by Dan Harmon, of course, from Community. You know that guy. And Justin Roiland. And they are just doing an amazing show. It's super, super funny. It's kind of like a bizarro twist on Back to the Future and involves a grandfather and his grandson as they go on dangerous adventures across the universe. I mean, we got everything in this show. You got sentient robot dogs. You got mustachioed alien sex offenders, rectal smuggling through intergalactic customs. I mean, it's everything you want in a cartoon, plus an amazing voice cast. Chris Parnell is in it. Justin Roiland does it. Sarah Chalky. Guys, this show is a winner, and you're going to love it. So new episodes of Rick and Morty air on Mondays at 10:30 p.m. on Adult Swim. That's Monday nights, 10:30 p.m. on Adult Swim. And they are sponsoring our show today. So tune in, not only because you're a fan of comedy, but because you're a fan of Adult Swim and fucking things traveling through interdimensions. That's what I'm saying. Rick and Morty, Monday nights, 10:30 p.m. I have a thing here. Obviously, we do this every time. Where obviously we had an opinion about the movie, but there are other people who have a higher opinion. So now it's time for some 5-star reviews. These are reviews culled from Amazon about the movie Crossroads. Here we go.
These are second opinions from top to bottom. Crazy movies are fun.
Okay, this is from Lucy's mom. Guys, get ready because just like the movie, this review is a little dark. Title, Bought for My Sister, May She R.I.P.
This was
one of her favorite movies. She loved it and thought it was very sentimental to talk about your youth and everything you went through growing up. She thought it meant a lot, and I wanted to replace her missing copies of both items when she passed away. Thanks to Amazon, it was cheaply and safely done. 5 stars.
Whoa.
Whoa. I guess I'm trying to put myself in the mindset of like being a young girl watching this movie and like, I still don't think you could like it. It's just not fun.
I don't know.
It's like, it's so dark and like not fun at all. You'd have to be the biggest Britney Spears fan to enjoy this movie.
Well, not according to Lee Parker, who says, only three other movies, Steel Magnolias, Diary of a Mad Black Woman, and Get Real, have made me cry. And this movie definitely stands among those. After seeing this movie, I've decided not to judge a DVD by its cover.
Whoa.
And
that's fair. Definitely do not judge the DVD by its cover. It is a very different movie.
This is one of my favorite reviews ever written by John Arnold. It's titled, See Ya at Da Crossroads. One word, yowza, Guys who saw this flick know the best scene ain't the beginning before graduation. It's that night. Can I get a holla? I mean, geez, girls. Well, I don't know what to tell you about the story because the benefit of a DVD is accessing the best parts and continually watching them over and over again. Like my boy J-Tap, props! I will say that to anyone who ain't switch-hitting or changing teams, you know, you'll enjoy Lucy's first with her lab partner. That and because Dan Aykroyd is the bombs in this film, but he still ain't no Ray in Ghostbusters. 5 stars.
Oh.
That is from John Arnold from Windsor, California.
I'm so proud of John that he stopped masturbating long enough to type that review.
Oh my God. Props to Jay, man. And finally, this is just written, this is a sad one, but sad for different reasons than the dead daughter.
By the way, both of John's favorite scenes are in the first 10 minutes of the movie. Like,
well, he's only watched
well, that's
this.
Because that's because he comes that quickly, and then it doesn't watch the rest of the movie.
This is from Betsy from Athens. She writes, Brittany is hot. This movie is even hotter. I especially like it when they walk on the beach with flashlights. My friends and I recreated this scene on our spring break in Charleston with crabs. It was a ton of fun. Being Brittany's first acting debut, I think she did a really good job and the movie's very good. She's a goofy girl, just like me and my friends. We like llamas.
What were the crabs? Were the crabs replacing the flashlight?
By the way,
you know what? Don't tell everybody about your STDs on Amazon.
Of all the scenes to recreate walking on the beach at night is not the scene. We're doing it just like Crossroads.
I don't even remember that scene.
See, I could see little girls recreating, like burying the box of that. I could see little girls doing that.
To bring this full circle, at the end, they bury on the beach an even worse spot than like
the
4 inches in the yard. They're just like right by the ocean. That's just not how burying things works.
All right, guys, would you recommend seeing this movie?
I wouldn't, actually. I thought it was boring.
I really thought it was boring.
I thought it was it wasn't bad enough to hold it. There was so much
filler
and boring stuff. But like, maybe tune in and watch like
the
karaoke.
The first 10 minutes,
make the first half hour. I don't know.
I gotta recommend the first 10 minutes to my bros.
Props to Jay, man. What about you, June?
I don't know. I mean, I would. I don't know. I found it watchable. But
here's the thing. If you want to watch a movie that I feel like is about female relationships from youth to getting older, watch both Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants movies.
Ooh, Jason.
Because they're good movies that do that well.
Yeah.
If you want to watch a movie that is pop stars so bad it's good, watch From Justin to Kelly. This is neither nor. Right.
Yeah.
But I want to bring up one thing which you didn't.
And I'm not kidding. Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants is an amazing movie.
Both of them are good. Even two is good.
Both. I cried at two on an airplane like a bitch.
I've cried at both. The thing is that it gets so dark so quickly that there's something interesting to me about that.
You're not wrong.
But
it doesn't pay off for so long.
It doesn't pay
off.
It's not great.
I don't think it pays off ever.
By the way, I want to bring up one little thing that we didn't talk about, and maybe it's worth mentioning. When they win all that money at karaoke, it's deemed that they are very poor. They don't have money, and they're on this road trip, and they get all this money, and they have money. The first thing that they do when they go to the hotel is like, ooh, mini bar! And they start raiding the mini bar, which is essentially just taking away all their money.
You know, like, stop at a 7-Eleven, guys, and like stack up on snacks.
Maybe they're under 21 and they can't get alcohol at the 7-Eleven.
Oh, you're right!
See, this is a really
Jeff,
deep movie.
You did it.
It's funny, because when I got it on iTunes, it was like, rent or buy, and I was like, I think I can rent this one. I'd have to watch it like 4 times to make it worth buying. But now I'm thinking about going back, you know?
I am impressed that they followed through and had her have sex.
Yes.
Like, that's a move that I didn't expect would actually come to fruition. You know, like, I thought she would get that dude as a boyfriend or whatever, whatever, but that she was never going to relent and lose her virginity.
I think if they had both killed the rape baby and kept her a virgin, that's such a fucked up movie.
It's true.
Such a fucked up movie.
You're saying they're like, well, what if we killed the baby? Well, then she's got to fuck the guy.
Do you think if you were her mom,
we got to earn this miscarriage with some teen sex.
if you were Britney Spears, by the way, how is her character in the movie's name not Britney? It's Lucy. That seems like the first thing you got to do. If you were Lucy's mom, or I guess Lucy's mom's not around, so you're Lucy's dad. Which of the two would you rather she, you know, sleep with? Justin Long or
Justin.
Anson? Right?
Justin, yeah.
Like, it seems like
but we are all Justin Longs.
Yeah, true.
Guys, what are you fucking talking about?
So
we don't have Native American
tattoos.
I'm not even in good shape like Justin Long is.
We are the nerds who were in high school who were like, maybe my friend will sleep with me.
Convinced her. I logicked her into sleeping with me.
I made a list. Imagine how frustrating it must be to be like the nerd, and you're almost sleeping with literally Britney Spears in 2002. She's like the hottest girl in the planet.
Yes.
And like,
I felt
she's
for
like,
him
when never mind.
When she was out of that bed, I was like, oh, I feel bad. There's
something
about
like,
it.
Fuck him up for life.
That's the worst. I will say that this movie does, I always try to look, find bad movie tropes. This has two. One being a crazy title sequence, like the beginning is like a movie company that never exists called like Zumba or something like that. It's like a dancing speaker, which I always think is great. Like these are one-shot production companies. And the terrible bloopers at the end that aren't bloopers, but just laughs and sneezes. Yeah. It's like,
well, I didn't even watch that.
Oh, the bloopers are like someone sneezes and it's like,
they did seem to have a really good time shooting the
movie. It was half a year they spent. They better have a good time.
From the bloopers.
I would love it if like Zoe Saldana, who has now gone on to become like a legit like A-list like talent, I would love it if she was like still best friends with Britney Spears.
Honestly, I was, they seemed to have a great time together.
Yeah,
I felt like no one exchanged numbers in this movie. That's how I felt. I felt like they walked off the
set. Like they were friendly, but like they're not hanging out.
Yeah, they were like, we work together, and that's it.
They should make Crossroads 2 where they come back and dig up the
eight
box
more
on
years.
The beach.
It's like 40 and up every year. Every 8 years, he
I would love that movie.
Oh my God. All right. So what can we tell you, Jeff? Your podcast, you can find it on iTunes, right?
Yeah.
And it's a Jeff Rubin Show. What are you on Twitter?
At Jeff Rubin Show.
Perfect. June.
At Miss June Diane and Burning Love is on E! Now, Wednesdays at 10:30.
Perfect. I am at Twitter at Paul Scheer. That's all I got for you right now.
Yeah, you know, guys, I have nothing to promote. I'm not on Twitter or anything like that. No, I just deleted my Twitter account. Yeah, I've been on Twitter this whole time secretly.
No.
You guys, but nobody was paying attention, so I quit
you
completely.
Son of a bitch. Guys, thank you so much.
I'm going to start a secret Twitter account. That's what's going to happen.
Oh, people are
do please look for my new upcoming movie, Nundercover, which is...
How's it coming along since when you started writing?
Pretty good. I've got I've got a first draft already written now. I'm starting to, you know, look for cast. I come together. I'm looking at June.
Wow.
Looking at June very carefully.
Yeah, for the cat burglar. Or the nun character or cat
burglar? You know what? I don't want to... Now that it's come together, I don't want to speak too much to
I
what
saw
the
something
characters.
On Slash Film about... Of casting breakdown got leaked.
Yeah, I know. I was pretty bummed about that.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't want to bring it up. But guys, check out the Earwolf store. We got cups now.
But suffice it to say, there will no longer be ninjas. Because that spoiled a huge thing. So I've taken the ninjas out.
You can follow us, as always, at HDTGM on Twitter. That's HDTGM on Twitter. And follow us on our Facebook page.
Oh, and also... Go fuck yourself, How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah,
we are in a war with
guys,
you.
You know it.
We are in a war with How I...
And if How I...
H-I-M-Y-M.
And if you and we'll carry that war over to How I Met Your Father if they choose not to play by our rules.
Yep.
All right, thank you guys. Bye-bye. And also a big thanks to everyone who helps us out here at the show. Our lead engineer, Frank Capella. Thank you so much, Frank. You're always amazing. And our clip puller, who's always suggesting great stuff, Avril Halley. And Nate Kiley, who's doing all of our research. He's amazing. And the fantastic Katie Dyer, who does our Twitter account. You can follow us on Twitter always at HDTGM. She also does our Facebook page. Leanna Waldron does all of our cool art. Check us out in the Earwolf store. We got cups. We got new shirts. Do it!
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom.com. The wolf dead.